Let us begin. We're up to Perek Yud Aleph. We are up to Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Hein Tzadik Baretz Yishulam. If it's so, Hein, if it's true that a Tzadik in this earth is Yishulam, this means is punished. He is paid for his sins. That's how most of the commentators understand this word. Af, certainly, ki rasha v'chayte, certainly a rasha will be punished. A rasha v'chayte here means a rasha who has sinned. Okay, let's take a look at a more precise translation from the Metzudos David. Hein, ke'oimer, this means, lama yiftach ha-rasha al hatzlochas shata. Why should a rasha be foolish to think that he should have confidence in his success? Haloi yira. Let the rasha just take note of the fact that even tzadikim gemurim, holy people, tzadikim, haloi yira ki af hatzadik yishulam al havir. He should take note that even the tzadik is punished. Yishulam means he's paid. He's paid for his sins. Shebiyadai oidenu baretz, while he is still in this world, ad lo yamos, before he dies. The kol shekein harasha machzik berishai v'chayte, so certainly if a tzaddik is punished in this world for a few sins that he has done, al achas kama v'kama harasha hamachzik berishai v'chayte. So here the Mitzvah explains over here, explains the word v'chayte. The word v'chayte at the end of this pasuk is very difficult to translate, because a rasha, by definition, is a person who is a choyte. So what is it? What does it mean then? Ki rasha v'choyte. So the answer the Mesudas gives is that he continues. A tzaddik, there are different types of rishoyim. There's a rasha who has done sins in the past, but right now he's sitting pretty. Right now, he's not bothering anyone. He has a balance of sins, but right now he's not currently involved in committing sins. Here the Mitzvah says the kol shekein harasha machzik berishai, he continues v'chayte od, he continues to sin, shebevada yikabul gmul ma'asav, so certainly he will receive the punishment for his deeds. Im koidem hamisa im liachrecha, either he will receive punishment for his sins in this world or in the next. So this is the way the Mitzvah translates this very difficult pasuk. Well, not necessarily. We vacillate. Sometimes we go, okay, so how is this pasuk different?
And suddenly he's switching around. He's saying, but the tzaddik is getting punished. Where do you see the tzaddik is getting punished for his rishus?
Hain, that's what the pasuk means, according to the Mitzvah.
So Hain, it's changing what it said all along. Well, it said that a tzaddik is glowing, he's growing, even the kids of the tzaddikim have schusavos. Something you say, but you see he's getting punished.
So. Okay, you're making a good point. I don't know the answer. It's a good point. Yeah, yes, but it's not part of the tone. It's not part of the pattern of the entire parak. We're stating as fact that a tzaddik is a great person and a rasha, and we're contrasting the evil of a rasha. Here it's like we're using the tzaddik's punishment to warn the rasha, don't continue in your evil ways. I don't know the answer. I don't know. It's a very good point.
Maybe he's telling the rasha,
watch out.
Tzaddik will get punished.
Like, that's what he's saying. That's what it means. But the question is, but that's not the style he's asking. That's not the style of the psukim of the entire parak. The entire parak is pretty much statements. There's a tzaddik and there's a rasha. Look at the difference. Figure out the difference between the two. Here we're actually addressing the rasha and we're telling him, and look at the tzaddik who suffers. That's not impossible. You know, that should be in Eif. It shouldn't be imprinted in Mishlei. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answers. I don't know. Okay, but Hain over here, it's a question. It's a rhetorical question. And the Chayit at the end of the Pasuk means he continues to sin. Rashi Kamad says the same thing. Rashi Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Hain Tzadik Baritz Yishulam. Lama Yiftach HaRasha B'Shah Shematzlech Eslo. Why should the Rashi be foolish to have faith, to be happy when he succeeds? Haloi Hu Roye She'atzadik Mishtalim Soch Schar Haver Shabiyadu. He should just take note of the fact that the Rashi, that the Tzadik, even the Tzadik suffers greatly in this world, he is punished. That he's punished for the few averus that he has committed, be'odo al oretz b'chaim, while he's still living in this world. So certainly, alachas kam v'kamo, the rasha V'afki rasha v'chayte v'kol shekein. Certainly, shesoyfai kol rasha l'shtalim loy, that he will be punished. He'll be paid. He'll have to pay for his sins. Ol b'chayev or b'moso, either in his lifetime or after he dies. Same kamat, the same exact thing as the mitzudo started. Okay, there are a few midrashim that elaborate on this pasuk. The first midrash says that this pasuk refers to Noach. Who is the tzaddik? Noach ish tzaddik tamim haya b'day raisaf. Now the Noach, I'll just put it together with the Tanchum and the Beit Rab. It basically says the same thing. It's a very mysterious midrash because it's not something which the average person would say. When Noach came out of the Teva, according to the Medrash Rabbah, Noach was Teveya from HaKadosh Baruch Hu reward. This we never heard before. Noach says, Hashem, I'm a good guy, I'm a tzaddik. Look what I did. I saved all these animals, I saved the world, I saved humanity, I saved the world, all the animals. And therefore, you know, I deserve a good life. I deserve, let things be good for me right now. At that moment in time, Hashem said to him, what are you kidding? You think you're going to get reward in this world for what you've done, for your good deeds? Lion, go, bite him. Hashem said the lion to bite him. Now, I think we are more familiar with the lion bit Noach in the Teva itself. That's again, we have conflicting midrashim. The common understanding is that the lion bit Noach in the Teva. He was late. Noach was late in delivering food to the lion bit Noach. But it's not what it says here. I'll read you the exact words. That the lion bit Noach after Noach left the Teva, when Noach demanded from HaKadosh Baruch Hu a reward for his good deeds, Hashem said, no such thing. You don't get reward in this world. Lion bite you, and you're going to suffer in this world. You're going to suffer in this world to cleanse your neshama from any minor sin that you may have committed in your lifetime. Now the problem then was, Noach now was a balmum. And Noach had another very important mission to do, was to offer korbanos, all of the kosher animals. He brought in seven sets of kosher animals that need to be offered as sacrifices. And Noach had the status of a kohen, but a kohen that's a balmum is not permitted to do the avoda. So Noach now, This was the greatest punishment. It's one thing to be punished that he limps, but it's even a greater tsar when you can't serve Hashem. Right, the Hanoah person has in this world that he's able to daven, to learn, to be Oved Hashem. And Noach was unable at this point to offer the korbanos that he planned to do. So instead he had to train his son, Shem ben Noach. And Shem was the one who offered, according to this medrash, all of the korbanos, all the animals that were in the Teva. And that's why Shem, now we understand, Umalki Tzedek Melech Shem Hotzlach Mehu Koyein Lekel Elyon. Since when did Shem become a Kohen Gadol? From Noach. Okay, but this is true, but it gives it a lot more flavor. Because according to this Medrash, it was Shem ben Noach that was the Kohen, he was the one that offered the Korbanos after Kohen. Thank you very much. He indeed was the one who offered all these Korbanos. So indeed he was the Kohen Lekel Elyon. Okay, now here, that's what the Gemara, the Medrash Darshan. He was depressed. He became an alcoholic. It's no joke.
No, that's what the Abba Ben El said.
He was depressed. Yeah, so this fits very well into the Medrash. In Echonami, Vayochanoch Ishu Adama, Hashem, you took away my ability to serve you, to offer korbanos. I was supposed to be the kohen. What was Noach? What did he say? Don't repeat it. Huh? Noach was looking forward to, you know, when he was in the table, when the marvel is over, he's going to be a big Rosh Hashiva, right? He's going to be a big Askan. He's going to head the convention, and now he comes out, and Hashem says, "Sorry, buddy, that's it. You're not. I didn't have you in mind." He was depressed, and therefore he lost out in shame.
That's why he got drunk. Yeah,
it makes a lot of sense. Okay, now that's what the pasuk here means. The pasuk means Hein et tzadik baretz yeshulam. The world should look at the first man from the second edition of this world. The world, second edition of the world, began with after the Mabul. The world was destroyed. The first edition came to an end. The second edition began. It began with Noach. Noach was an ish tzadik, and look what happened to him. Yeshulam. He was punished. He was punished for his minor sins.
That's one of the reasons Shlomo HaMelech also said, "Ein tzadik baretz asher yaseh tov."
V'lo yechta. Yeah, of course, every person.
But there's a fun here, because Alain means complete.
Yeah.
Noach was not complete, because he was bitten.
Okay, therefore.
So that's what
he's saying. Right. Yeshula. You say question mark. You want to interpret it to mean you want to say is a tzaddik ba'aretz complete? Question mark. No. It's not even a tzaddik. There's no tzaddik in this world that has everything. Everyone suffers because everyone has to pay some price. Okay, but that's, he's saying a very nice idea. But the pashup shad is Yeshua means he is not paid in this world, lashon of sachar, a payment for his minor sins and for imperfections. Yes, he is. Alachas kama v'kama. What left is there for the rest of mankind to say? Who's not on the level of Noach? How much more so will they have to suffer? Af ki rasha v'chayte. Any person who continues to sin in this world, certainly they're going to have to suffer. They're going to have to be punished. Okay, let me read you the words of the Medrash to show that I'm not making this up. Davar acher hein tzadik baratz yishulam kineged mi nemar hamikra zeh. Who is this pasuk? I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. One more second. Hein tzadik baratz asher yishulam zeh Noach shebo lotzeis min ha-teva lekabel sechoroi. Okay, he came out of the table to receive his reward, v'nish shtalem, which here means he was punished. The Gemara says, the Midrash says, esmeha, can this really be? Is this really true? The Amar Rav Huna Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Osha Rabbi Yosef Glili Noach Kishol Yetzim in Ateva. When he came out of the teva, okay, not in the teva like we believe. When he came out of the teva, he kishoy ari. He was bitten by a lion, the shibro, and he was injured. The lo hayakosher lahakriv. He was no longer fit to offer korbanos. The hikriv shame bino tachtav shame offer korbanos in his place. So this is what happens to Noach. Noach, the tzaddik, ish tzaddik, tamim haya b'day roisav, and now he was punished. When he came out of the teva, al achas kama v'kama, what is there left for us to say? Now, let me go read you another. Now, I just read you from the Bereish Rab, but it really it's complemented with more details from the Tanchuma. The Tanchuma says, Zeh Noach, okay, al shahoye zoriz basiyas ha-teva, he was a zoriz in making the teva, miyad nishtalem, he was punished when the marble was over. Shenemar, Hein Tzadik Baritz Yishulam, Rav Huna Amar Yotza Min Hateva, Goyneach Miliboy, Rav Yochlam Shem Rulaz Rav Yosef Liomel, Yotza Min Hateva Ad Sheshavar Hari, Amar Ruach Kosh Tzadik Mishtalmim Rasham Eim Mishtalmim. Okay, it's the same idea. Okay, but he has a little bit of a bayer over here, he has a parish over here which explains this medrash. It could be the other midrashim which I'm missing out on, is that Noach wanted reward. He wanted reward for... I guess he did. I guess, I mean, we Baruch Hashem, we're brainwashed. I mean, we're brought up already after 3,000 years of having a greater appreciation of the Hashkafa, knowing that there's no reward in this world. But when you go back to the beginning of time, going of Adam HaRishon, go back to Noach, there's an expectation. You live in a world, you do a good deed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in this world.
Look what he suffered through for all those years.
Okay, so in Echonami,
he thought he was, crazy. Yeah.
Okay, but he did Hashem's bidding. Hashem sent him on a mission, an extremely difficult mission. He succeeded, and he expected that for the rest of his life he's going to have it easy. And he didn't. He came out of the teva a very sick person. He was unable to offer the korbanos. And it's shocking. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that to a person, to go and send him on a mission? You know, shluchei mitzvah einam nizakin. And look what happened to Noach. He was the ultimate shiluach mitzvah.
But he didn't get it. He got it after the mitzvah.
He got it afilu b'chazarosan. Afilu b'chazarosan, even on the way out. Shluchim mitzvah, inim nizak, afilu b'chazarosan. Right? This was you had in the newspaper list. You mentioned to me, Rabbi Avadia Yosef. People from Baba Sali. These are kashas. There's no answer to it. You do find people that are suffering the shluchim mitzvah, and they are nizakin. They are nizakin. Look what happened.
You take a little detour on the way. That's when you're subject to.
Yeah, but look what happened in Har Nof last week. What do these people do?
Learning.
Tursky went to mikvah that morning. He put on talis and tefillin. It was in the middle of Kriyashma. After he finished Kriyashma, and it was in the middle of saying Shemona Esrei. What can you possibly say? This. You can't make these cheshbonim. We don't know what these things mean. But Noach, the one that made these cheshbonim the first time was Noach. Noach, it's not fair. I'm a shluchi mitzvah and I suffer. Hashem says that's right. Hein tzadik bar yishulam, no such thing. Okay, let's go to another medrash. Another medrash in terms of this passage in reference to. So the tzadik, okay, we take a step back. According to the first medrash, tzadik here is Noach, as the Torah explicitly says, Noach ish tzadik tamim hayabi deroys. Surprisingly, here I don't have any medrash that connects this to Yosef. Yosef, we in Chazal's literature, Yosef is called a tzaddik, but not in Tanakh, correct. Now, who else in Tanakh is called a tzaddik? Moshe Rabbeinu. It says in the pasuk, Tzidkos Hashem Asa u'mishpatav im Yisrael. So what did I say? Tzidkas Hashem Asa. In reference to Moshe, he did the Tzidkas Hashem. So that pasuk is calling Moshe Rabbeinu a tzaddik. Shocking, interesting idea. We never think of it. We don't think of Moshe being a tzaddik. We think Moshe Rabbeinu. He's our Rabbeinu. Yeah, but we don't have the term, the title. The title, the Torah is very precise. But yet in this pasuk, it's interpreted in reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is the tzaddik. Oh, once Moshe is called the Tzidkas Hashem Asa, he's the tzaddik. Now we can use an information to tie into this pasuk. Hein tzaddik baritz Yeshulam. Moshe is the tzaddik. Was he complete? In other words, the magic goes on to say, did Moshe live forever? Moshe died. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu was a Malach Elokim, Moshe Rabbeinu also had to die. And death only comes through chet.
I don't know. Maybe you're missing something here.
Yeah.
Version I have is Zeh Moshe Shenemar Hein Korvu Yomech Olamus. The trigger is not Tzadik, it's Hein.
Go further. Uchsiv Bey, go further. I'm reading from the Yalkut Shemoni.
Right.
Yalkut Shemoni. So therefore, what is the Kasa Shem Masa?
Because
that's the word. Yeshulam. Right, okay. Okay, that's the promise, the punishment. Right. Hain means that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die. He's going to die. What's the Yeshulam? He's going to be punished. What's the punishment by Moshe Rabbeinu? Death.
Moshe Rabbeinu.
Death. Death.
Well, so he wasn't going into Eretz Yisrael.
So it's a combination of two things. Yeshulam means there's going to be punishment. And what is the punishment for Moshe Rabbeinu? It's the hein. The trigger word is the hein, which refers to hein karvu yomecha, death or not going into Eretz Yisrael. Who is the subject of this pasuk? Tzaddik. Who is the tzaddik? The medrash continues. Tzidkas Hashem asa Moshe Rabbeinu.
Eretz Yisrael, because then the next word is Kuras Yoshua. In other words, he's taking
your place.
He's going to lead them into
okay.
The land.
So the punishment is not Moshe because of the chait of the Mea Meriva. He's not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Very good. The Oretz. Eretz Yisrael. Very good. So talk. Very good. So you have here really all four words. You have all four words. All four words are trigger words. Hein karim mechalamus. Ba'aretz Eretz Yisrael. You're not going there. Yishulam is punishment. You're not going to be complete. You're not going to have completion. You're going to be lacking something. And the tzaddik is Moshe Rabbeinu Tzidkas Hashem Asa. So it's really a nice little code. Everything here in this pasuk in Mishlei is connecting into various psukim of Tanakh to make sense, to open up the deeper meaning of this pasuk. Okay.
Moshe was considered a Navi.
The Av HaNaviim, not just the Navi. You have a special...
So the Navi automatically means Tzadik.
Not necessarily. It's a different focus. Every Navi, is, of course, is a Tzadik. And
Mar gets into a very big time in Sanhedrin.
Yeah.
About Navi. What's considered an Ovi? Yes, because it's important. What gave Yitzhak the thought process that he could lay down on the Akedah?
Yeah.
Why should he trust Avraham?
Messiah.
Basis.
Yeah.
Trusting Avraham.
Yeah, that was his Messiah. The son learned who's in the bigger.
He had a right to lay down.
He was even a bigger son to faith in his father. That's all part of the Akedah, the Emunah.
What makes you, in other words, what makes a Novi in good standing and it brings down brother? You know, just because he did it, what do you call it, an ace? Or is it one ace or is it two nace? Because the Neviim, the Gemara brings down the Neviim, who are an ace, who was like Yoshua Kohen Gadol, brings down and says that he turned to the dark side. In other words, he blew it. A couple of Neviim who were Neviim, they performed miracles, and then all of a sudden they still went off to the heaven. So being a Nevi doesn't make you a tzaddik. Until the end. I'll come and be Atzmachad, your host.
But the question even with the Akedah was, how could Avram kill his son? He knows he's not supposed to kill
him. Hashem said to him to do it. Okay, that was the Messiah.
But I'm telling you to kill. But there are stories in the Midrash where some of the Chachamim had arguments, and they had the witnesses, and Hashem made miracles happen to prove their argument, but you're supposed to follow the
Assignment. Even right, the Torah says that, the Devarim says that, if a Navi comes and tells you, they also, okay, they're different sukkim to... The rules changed after Avraham Avinu. After Avraham Avinu, the rules changed. You can't just make things up. Okay, so we have the Yasacha call in this pasuk. This pasuk we have here two different subjects. Either it's going to be Moshe or it's going to be Noach. Okay, that concludes Perikid Beis. Now we go to Perikid Aleph. Now we go to Perikid Beis. Oyev Musa, Oyev Das. A person who loves Musa, he is a person who loves knowledge. Musa and Das here in the pasuk are equating. Musa, knowledge is. Knowledge only comes from Musa. Vesone Sochachas, Boar. Is a boorish person. A person that hates Musar will be bar is a untamed, undisciplined individual. The Mitzvah Sion precisely says a shaita. Okay, it's a really different translation, a foolish person. Someone who hates Musar, he does not have intellect. I guess he is darshan the word bar based on the context. If you love Musar, you have das. If you hate Musar, then you lack intelligence. Lacking intelligence is called a shaita. So why didn't it say shaita? So we have another word for shaita called a bar. Bar is usually used in Chazal to refer to a person that gives into his impulses, into his taivos, animal instincts, he's not disciplined. But that's not seemingly how it's being used, at least according to the Mitzudos David. And David and Mitzudos, the Mitzudos Perish Mitzudos. Let's take a look at the Mitzudos Pasuk. Alev Oyev Ahoyev Esa Musar, Hu Oyev Das. Ki B'Shama Yesa Musar. When a person listens to Musar, Yikne Das Mashaloy Shama Me'os. He now acquires a deeper insight into something that he has not yet understood. The Musar, when a person corrects him and tells him you're making a mistake that caused him to retrace his steps and to now have a new understanding of something which he has learned. Avala Soine Techachas, the person who hates Musar, who Boar, Vishaita, Ki Yeshur Bi Ivaltoi, he remains in his foolish conduct, he does not change, he has not acquired anything from the experience. Rashi, there is no Rashi. Okay, now this is the very beautiful Medrash here, Medrash Tehillim. Medrash Tehillim says that it summarizes the entire Tanakh and looks at four different types of people who received Musar and how they reacted to Musar. Who are the four people? I'll read it inside, but I want to just tell you outside first. Number one was Eif. Eif received Yisurim. The Yisurim was a form of Hashem giving him Musar. How did he react? Not well. He rejected the Musar. Avraham also received Musar. Avraham had the tendency on us. Avraham, according to the Medrash, this is not so simple because they're conflicting Midrashim, but the one I'm going to present you here says, Avraham enjoyed it. It was delicious. He said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yum, yummy, delicious. Okay, the third individual is Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Chizkiyahu HaMelech suffered. He was extremely ill. He was about to die. And what did he do? He said, Ribbono Shel Olam, enough. I appreciate it. I'm not going to be like Eeyore, who's going to reject it and complain and become an apikoros. No. I'm not going to say it's delicious. For me, it's not delicious. Okay, I got the message. Now, Hashem, bring an end to it. And he went to Yeshayahu, and he was mispalel. And like here, he was mispalel, and Hashem put an end. And the fourth person is David HaMelech. David HaMelech did not even have Yisurim. He was living a good life. And he said to Hashem, bring it on. I love it. Challenge me. I want to have Yisurim. This is not like Avraham Avinu did not ask for Yisurim. It was brought upon him against his will. It was Mekabalit very well. He succeeded in accepting it. But David was not even suffering, and yet he brought it upon himself. So let me read you the words of Medrash, very interesting Medrash. And I guess the message is that every single person in this world it fits into one of these four categories. Every single person, every single person has a degree of discomfort in this world. And the only question is, who do we identify with? Well, where is our neshama? Where is it quarried from? Was it quarried from the same place as the Chizkiyahu? We get the message Hashem, Ad Khan, that's enough. Or are we like Chash, like Eiv? Okay, we don't want to be like Eof. We don't want to become a person from Yisurim. Or we can be like David. That's not for the average man. To say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to have Yisurim Shalava to cleanse my neshama. That I don't think is advisable for any living person in this, in the world we live in today. Not for sure not. And then we have the third category, Avraham. Avraham is to enjoy it. That's not for the average person either. I think the average person is more, we identify more with Chizkiyahu. That I think is what, I don't know, appears to me to be something which okay, we get the message, we appreciate it, but we have to be mispallel that the Yisurim should go away. It's not easy to be even in such nisyonos.
I think the problem with Tzaddikim, in other words, their downfall is always because after a certain amount of living the life as a Tzaddik and the world to some degree lionizes you when you begin to believe your own press clippings. Mm-hmm. And that's where your downfall is. Because you think that even Moshe Rabbeinu, that was his downfall.
You don't accept Moshe.
He made a judgment that they didn't deserve to see the Nesef talking to the rock. And so he hit the rock. Because he didn't feel that they deserved it. He made a judgment, and that's where
his Just let me read what it says over here. Arba Hain, there are four individuals in Tanakh. Shelaku, that suffered. Echad laku, one individual suffered, v'hoya mevait, and he rejected the suffering. Okay, that's going to be Yoif. Echad laku, v'hoya mitzachek. He took great delight in the suffering. V'echad laku, umevakesh, and he was mevakesh me'oy havoy, which means that he was mevakesh that it should come to an end. And one, the echad laku, the Omar, one person was hit. The Omar, Lomo Haritsua Tuluya. Eve, we already did. The first one we did was his Mevait. The last one is the Ritsua Tuluya. And he saw the Ritsua on top of his head and he said, Hakuniba, please, hit me. Hit me. What are you wearing? You're wearing a belt? Oh, Givaldik! This leather is this unique, special leather which with the impact on my flesh will bring incredibly. I have not had such pleasure in my life. That was David. Can I read the words of the message? Echalok of Ahibavaidza Eov. Eov was smitten and he became an apikores because of the Yisurim. Shalok Obat, he rejected it. Okay, Allah, he said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lomani loike, Me'asi silucha, Emily, Me'chotasi. So who Shalaka bought, he was extremely critical of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We learned the whole year, we spent so much time on it, obviously we appreciate that. V'yasheini, Shalaka v'hoi mitzachik. Now it's very interesting, the psukim that the Medrash quotes in order to bring out the point. Ze Avraham, Shenemar, Vayipol Avram alpana vayitzchok. It's very bizarre that the Midrash quotes this pasuk, because this pasuk is referring to good news. Hashem for Avraham, you're going to have a yitzchok. So Avram fell on his face and he vayitzchok, and he laughed or he rejoiced. I'm happy. What exactly? What does it mean vayitzchok? When Hashem told Avraham you're going to have a child, vayitzchok. He had simcha, or he was partially mocking in his heart, is it really possible for me to have a child? But yet the Gemara darshins this pasuk, it takes this pasuk out of context, and darshins vayitzchak means, I guess vayipol av al ponov, I'm assuming what this one means, the interpretation is that when he fell on his face, that's an expression of suffering. When a person receives lashes, malkois, they bend him down on his face. They bend him down, they tie him down on a post. He's bent al ponov, and they whip him from behind. So the Medrash takes this pasuk out of context. Vayipol Avram al ponov. The Bezdin is taking Avram, tying him down to a post, taking out the whip, and they're saying, V'hurachum yichat ha'ovim v'lo yashchis. They say it three times, and they're whipping him. And how does Avram Avinu react? Vayitzchok. It's delicious. I'm a Kabbal.
That's why the first you say, Vayitzchok.
with a sin, yeah,
sin, words,
to rejoice.
Yeah.
The tzchoik, it's not as a connotation of laughter.
Yeah,
it's a simcha. It's a great simcha. Okay, so that's an amazing, amazing pasuk. How you take a pasuk out of context and you dash it for your purpose, the purpose of the medrash.
By the 13 words.
13 times 3.
Three times,
39. That's why when you say virachim, it's also mechavin the malchus. Okay, Gemara elaborates with a little bit of a mashal. That's the basic idea of Yitzchak. The fourth one is David. The third one is Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu was the one that said, "Hayalaika v'vakesh me'ayavoy zeh Chizkiyahu v'chinu oimer v'yasev Chizkiyahu ponav alakir v'yispal l'Hashem." He suffered, he was about to die, he was mispal, and he recovered. The harvi was David. That's why this medrash really is quoted in Sefer, in the medrash of Tehillim. David, lomo ritzuya tluya. He sees a ritzuya hanging on, and he comes in the bezdin, and he sees there's a ritzuya hanging on the wall. They use that ritzuah for who? For the criminals. And David says, "Oh, you have a ritzuah on the wall. I also want to, it's like the children, they go to visit the police station. We used to do this, and they used to take us to the police station on the Lower East Side, and they used to put us in jail. They would lock us up on the Lower
East Side. They obviously let you out.
Hope so.
Only one little prayer.
He's still on parole.
They took fingerprints. It's a very good thing, they really scared the living daylights out of you. I remember in the Lower East Side, it was MTJ, they told me we had a little trip. How old could I have been? It must have been first, second grade. They took us right next to the Beis Yaakov, right? Rebbetzin Khan's Beis Yaakov.
Yeah.
You go all the way down there. They had a little police station. They took us in, and they were little kids, and they showed us how they do fingerprints. They took fingerprints of us, and they took us into the jail, and they actually put us in the jail cell, all the kids, and they locked those heavy, and there, those heavy doors, and the way it clicks. To show, so the David walks into Bezdin and he sees the ritzuah hanging on the wall and goes, "Oh, what's that for? Oh, we have a criminal, we whip them." "Oh, very good, I also want to be whipped. I also want to have the pleasure of being whipped." That's what David said. Lo ritzuah tluya, he kuniba. Zeh David shechofetz b'yisurim. And that's really what it has, how it ties here into this pasuk Aleph, and I'm being a parak. Oyhev Musar. David was the one, he was the fourth of this set. He loved Musar, he loved the Yisurim. V'chein amar Shlomo ohev Musar ohev das. Okay, that is this pasuk. Let's now go to pasuk base. Toiv yothik rotzo mi Hashem. Toiv over here means a tzaddik. Toiv means a good person. A good person, yothik, he brings forth, he extracts. Rotzoin, goodwill, me Hashem. The ish mizimos, a man of schemes, a man of that's plotting and planning to make trouble. Yarshia, he brings evil. Yarshia here means he brings to this world evil to the world. Let's take a look at the mitzvahs. David toiv, ish toiv, moitzi rotzon me Hashem, lohavi toiv al kol olam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu has goodwill, then anything is possible. Pesachas yodechu maspil l'chol chai rotzoin. You want to bring forth from a Kadosh Baruch Hu rotzoin. When there's rotzoin, then everything will be good. But the ish.
That's the first line of the
tonight. Yafik.
That's how it begins.
How does it begin?
Yeah.
How does it begin the tonight?
Yafik rotzoin me Hashem.
This pasuk?
Yeah. Not the whole pasuk, just the first four words.
Toiv yafik rotzon me Hashem.
Take a look at it tonight, man. That's how it begins.
The yafik rotzon me Hashem atoiv.
Yeah.
The yafik rotzon me Hashem atoiv. Ah, so it's a little bit different because here it says to me Hashem atoiv. Hashem is the toiv, but you have a yafik to bring forth rotzon. It's very, very good. It's fantastic. You're really saying good that this pasuk, that expression really comes from this pasuk.
Yafik rotzon me Hashem.
Yafik rotzon me Hashem atoiv. And here it's toiv yafik.
Yeah. It's like double,
you say it twice. Right? Some say you're supposed to first say the so then you go back and you sign the davar. Some of them, Hashem atoiv, yafik me Hashem atoiv. So that's a really very good point. You learn the pshat in the pasuk. Ish toiv motzi rotzon Hashem lovi toiv al kolam beish mizimos animshach achar machshavas liboy. Person that's mizimos. Mizimos means thoughts. A person that is pulled after his evil thoughts. Yarshia eskol ho'olam. He causes the world to be declared guilty. What does that mean? Ki machriyam lechoiva. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu weighs on his scales. On his scale, is the world innocent or guilty? The Rasha. Let me just do one more Aveira to push the scale down. L'choiva. Right? The world is even, 50-50. So the Rosh says, I'll do one more Aveira. That's the Kavan of the Rosh. He wants there to be Chorban. Rashi, Toiv, Yav, Toiv, Toiv, Yathik. Might say, Min HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nachas, Shuach, Lohavi, Toivo, Lo'il, to bring Toivo to the world. V'ish, Mezimos, Yarshia, Baal, Alilos, an evil person, a person of evil deeds. Yarshia, what does that mean? Mechai, Vesabrios, Lohavi, Lohavi, Ra. He declares, he makes mankind guilty in order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring evil to the world. V'chein, Lo'imer, V'choyte, Echad, we have in Koheles, one sinner, Ya'abed Toiva Harbe. One sinner can bring an enormous loss. You always find that so that these empty cans make a lot of noise. Doesn't take much. Empty barrels doesn't take much. One person can do a lot of harm. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. Lo yikon adam beresha. A person will not be established through resha. Yikon means like a foundation. Wickedness will never serve as a foundation for the world. But v'shoresh tzadikim bal yimod. But in contrast, the root of a tzadik will never be removed. With Sudos Pasuk Gimel. Lo yikon ha'adam lo yeh nochon b'masa ha'resha. A person will not be established through rishas. So Ratzu Laimar lo yamod al kinoi ubesis. So he will not remain on his foundation, on his support. A person who is a rasha, who establishes himself through evil, will not survive. The im ahoin with the wealth sha'asa b'resha. Avol, in contrast to this, shoresh, even something which is not a foundation, it's just a root. We're trying to contrast a massive foundation of like they built for the Freedom Tower, where the foundation, for how many floors, 10 stories up, it's pure concrete, and there's some type of an incredible thickness of a degree of concrete. The foundation is super, super strong, like never was. If a foundation is built on wickedness, on riches, on money that's ill gained, that massive foundation will come crumbling down. But a tzaddik, even if he puts a root in the ground and the root is nothing, you can blow and the root will come out of the ground, being that that root was planted with righteousness, will remain forever. Sha'asaf beresh avol sherish tzadikim lo yeh neichel lipol na fall down. What's lemmer afim yipol, even if he'll fall down, lo yimot, even if the tzadik will fall down, lo yimot, he will not falter. Ad hasherish, even if he suffers a loss, he will not be uprooted from the roots. Ki yachzor v'yakom, he will once again, the root is forever. He will rise again. Rashi, lo yikon adam beresha, lo yispasem, same exact yispases, his foundation, a basis, the foundation will not survive. Pasik dalit. Eshes chayil ateres bala. A righteous woman is the crown of her husband. Ucherokov be'atzmoisav mivisha. Mivisha means the opposite of an eshes chayil. Mivisha means lashon of bush, of shame. Here it's the feminine form, and we're using it as an adjective, where it's the description of a shameful woman. A man who is married to a shameful woman will cause the man's bones to rot. She'll get into his bones and she'll be the source of his downfall. Person's success, the Pasuk here makes it very, very clear that a person's success and failure all depends on his wife. A good wife, in the merit of a good wife, the man can go ad l'rakia.
And Melody, he had a choice of
wine. 18 wives. They brought him down. That's right. It says the le zignoi he to noshem es liboy. That's what it says. Shlomo Melech's wives brought him down. That was the source of his downfall. Absolutely. Absolutely. But here this pasuk cannot be clearer that a good wife will be a crown of glory, an ateres, and a bad wife will be a rotting of the bones, and the bones, or doesn't the bones, as it was symbolic, the bones means a person's essence. Persons, the bones don't rot. Generally speaking, the likud atzamos, when a person dies, the basar rots. But the bones, they remain don't know, forever, but the bones remain for a very, very long time. Even when a person dies, he's still around in this world. The bones stick around for, you could be in for hundreds of years until the bones completely turn into dust. But a bad wife ruins a person quickly. Even his bones will have no zecher in this world.
That's a curse,
basically. Yeah.
His bones rub. So
no zikara. No zikara. Like Kilu, he never existed. And that's what a bad wife can do. Let's see them to this. David Pasig Dalit, Ateris Bala, Ratzlema. Bala, Misspoeb, Masel Bala, he takes pride in her deeds. Mevisha. Mevisha is a term which refers to an evil wife. Ha'isha shenimsebo kol davar busha. A woman that's found in her every shameful activity. He, lebala, she is her husband. Kiri kavon be'atzmaisav, like a decay in his bones. I just read recently from Rav Pam. Rav Pam, was a very gentle, soft-spoken person. And he was very, very famous for his advice and shidduchim and shalom bayis. So someone once came to him. I saw this writer by Zev Smith. He was one of Rav Pam's biggest talmidim. He wrote all the books on Rav Pam, all the art school books and the books before art school. They're almost all written by him. And he wrote there a story, shocking story. A person came to Rav Pam and basically said to Rav Pam, my wife is a witch. I'm stuck in this miserable marriage. She's a wicked witch. Probably said worse. Can't say those words here. And after talking, Rav Pam asked him, what exactly, what's the problem? And after a discussion, Rav Pam said something that the author of the Sefer himself thought was even more shocking. Rav Pam said to him, if she's a witch, it's because you made her into a witch. So that's a whole new twist. You hear a gadol say that today? When you hear you don't hear these such gadolim stories today.
She sins, we deserve.
The Eishes, when you talk Eishes Chal Teretz Bala, it's not that the woman has to stand on her own. If a man is good to his wife, Nimela, it's like an infinite cycle. It's reciprocal. It's an infinite cycle. A man is good to his wife, so she becomes better. And when she becomes better, now in her zuchus, he becomes better. He becomes better, and then he's good to her. He makes her even better. And when she's even better, then it goes on and on. It builds on itself. Infinity. It goes all the way until infinity. That's really what Tom is saying, is that don't take this pasuk literally. Eish Yisrael, you have to have a woman there before you get married. She's already established to be an Eish Yisrael, and Nela shall be a terrorist. Lavdavka. You can take any woman. Any woman, if you're good to her, she will Nela become the Eish Yisrael, and Nela she will raise the husband to a very high madrega. On the other hand, if you treat your wife like a piece of garbage, then she will become a Mavisha, and then when she goes down, you go down. And you go down big time, Churakov be'atzmaisav. That's the Limud HaMusar. The more concerned with knowing, when you ask a shidduch, tell me about the family. Do they celebrate Thanksgiving? do they eat turkey on Thanksgiving?
How much money do they have?
What?
How much money do they have?
Well, right away, get a sense. Yeah. If you celebrate Thanksgiving, the big family, oh, that means they're well-to-do.
What shul does the Zayde daven in?
Okay. Now, there's a very beautiful medrash, and the medrash elaborates upon this. Almi Nemar, a lot of these medrashim, we're getting a certain flavor of learning Mishlei. When you learn Mishlei, I think we have this more often than not, you get a flavor when the pasuk, Almi Nemar, who is the pasuk? Who is the model that fits that the pasuk is describing? And here the answer is Avraham and Sarah. Sarah, who is greater, Avraham or Sarah? You say every day in davening, look at Avraham. You don't say in davening, look at Sarah. Right? So you think that Avraham is greater? Not so, the Medrash says. Sarah was the crown of Avraham. Avraham looked up to Sarah. It's a Farish apostle. Kol asher tema Sarah, Shema b'kayla. What more can you possibly want? What?
Hashem had to tell him that.
Hashem, kol... Okay. Bala Omar Rabbi Acha. Bala Nis'ater Ba. Now it says the Medrash does not mince words. The Medrash is very, very, very powerful. It says here, Bala Nis'ater Ba. Avraham took pride in Sarah. But Sarah did not take pride in Avraham. That was superfluous, right? You don't need to say that, but that's what it says. Vehi, Sarah, loy nisata bebala. Sarah didn't need Avraham. Sarah did not take pride in Avram. Shocking words. How do we know this? Because she was greater. The Gemara says, and it goes on to say, and then the Gemara quotes another famous Chazal. What happened to Sarah? Both their names were changed. Sarai turned into Sarah, and Avram turned into Avraham. Okay, everyone knows the popular medrash that the Yud, what happened to the Yud of Sarai? Where'd it go? To Yoshua. Went to Yoshua. But there's another medrash that says Hashem took the Yud, which is the numerical value of 10, divided into 2. He gave like half to Sarah, so Sarai to Sarah, and the other 5 went to Avram. Avram, Avraham. So Avraham only lived off the coattails of Sarah. Sarah supported Avram. She gave away half of her name, half of the numerical value of the Yud, in order to give koyach to Avram. See, Mamash, see this concept here.
Says also that when the Akedah, that Hashem told Avraham only, not Sarah, because Sarah would have understood that he never said...
Only to Halaleu, and not to actually sacrifice him. She would have seen through the whole thing. She would have seen through the entire thing. It's very, very good. Fascinating thing. Okay. One other last thing. This is a Tanchuma. Another interesting idea from the Tanchuma is that Arba Dvarim Hazikna Kofetzes Alam. There are 4 things which cause a person to age prematurely. Number 1 is Yira. If he's afraid of Parnassa, afraid of the government, he has Daigis of Yira. Number 2, Kas Banim. If his children make trouble, he has Agmas Nefesh from his children. Number 3 is an Isha Ra. He has an evil wife. That causes a man to age prematurely. And number 4 is war. If a person lives in a time of war, that's the 4th thing. Then the Gemara goes on and elaborates Isha Ra. Where do you find that an Isha Ra causes a person to age prematurely? Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech, how old when he died? 52 years old when he died? He died, that's a young man, 52 years old and he died. Shlomo HaMelech, why did he die so young? Because of his wives. Shocking medrash. His wives, he married too many wives, and they caused his heart, they caused him to age prematurely. But who's the one who did not age prematurely, who was a young man his whole life? You have a good wife, you're a young man your whole life. Avraham had a good wife, he was young, 100 and, how old was he, 80, 100 and, Avraham Avinu, how old was he, 175, Avraham Ishtay Mechabadatay Vikaratay, not only that, how do we know he had a good wife, what's the Mekar, maybe it wasn't such a good relationship, how do you know, we see Hagar, there was a big fight. So how do we know that they had such a good relationship, Avram and Sarah? Maybe things were a little shaky. We know it from the pasuk when the Malach came and when Avram already was 100 years old, 99 years old, and Sarah was 89 years old, and said, "Next year you're gonna have a child." She said, "Oh, really? I'm gonna have a child." Va'adoni zokein. My husband is an old man and he can't have children anymore. He's not capable of having children. In her insult of saying that her husband is too old, she gave him cover. Adoni, my master. When do you find a woman, go around today and go look at a couple, they're 100 years old, and the wife has respect, gives cover to the husband, my master. My master, Adoni, you are my master. You say Beryl, you just say, you know, you just say the man, him. You don't, it's very common, the more you know a person, the less respect you have for the spouse. Yet, after all this time, Adoni Zokein. So that's amazing insight. Therefore, since she gave Avram cover to the very end, that's why Avram remained young. He remained young at heart until he was 175 years old. And the Makari, this Tanchuma says, comes from Va'adoni Zokein. So we don't appreciate this.
Avram lived 38 years after Sarah died.
Sarah died prematurely. Sarah died prematurely because she said, Chamos Yalecha. Chamos Yalecha, she was Moser Dina La Shamayim, and that caused her to die prematurely. And look at all the collateral damage with Hagar, I think about Keturah, which had all these other children. The whole world would have been completely different. If Sarah would have not made the Shemayim, who knows? The whole world would have developed in a very different way. But it's an amazing idea. We don't really appreciate this. We think, you know, you go look at older couples, and do they really have respect? For, you know, think about couples. Look at people. The older you get, Unfortunately, the more everyone has skeletons in their closets, so the more you discover their skeletons, and the less respect you have for a person as you get older. But yet, Sarah maintained her respect that she had for her husband, calling him Adoni Zaken, even when she was 100 years old, and that is an insight into their relationship. She gave him honor, they lived long, and she was the Ateres Bala, the crown of her husband.
Her husband is old, yet he had children after she died, so he's even older.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, right. That was the miracle. That's exactly the Malach said. Don't laugh. It's really going to happen. That's exactly what the Malach said.
Actually, the miracle was her, not him.
Both. Miracle was both. It appears. I mean, the question was, we know that today scientifically a man could have children theoretically until he's 200 years old. Right? Until he's dead. Only a woman, the biological clock, ends at a certain point in time. But when it comes to a man, so what then does the Mefarshim ask this question? Can the Mefarshim ask this question? What then does it mean, Adoni Zaken? Okay, I don't know what it means, but... Alright, let's go to the next Pasuk. Pasuk, we're up to Pasuk Ches. Machshavat Tzadikim Mishpat. The thoughts of a tzaddik or the tzaddik are just, but tachbulos rishayim, but the plans, the schemes of the rishayim mirma is nothing more than deceit. Mitzudos pasekei mishpat lasos mishpat emes lahatzil ha'oshek miyad oshko. According to the mitzudos, the thought is that the tzaddik is always working in this world that there should be mishpat. A tzaddik's goals, his machshavos, he means his plans, his professional life is to straighten out the world. That's what tzaddikim busy themselves with. There should be mishpat emes, lahatzil, to save the oshek, the theft. Miyad oshko, remove it from the hand of the robber, from the tyrant. But the tzaddikim, tachbulos rishon, what do? The whole day, mirma, the rishon, the whole day they're planning and plotting how to make trouble and destroy the world. Lasos mirma, ra'am mitzudos. I left out a Rash. Let's go back to Rash. Cherekev. Okay, that's going back to the previous pasuk, is that an evil wife, a wife that's a mevisha, causes the bones of her husband to rot. Rashi, toilas hanichnas toicha, it's almost a worm that enters into the bones of her husband, grinds them. Kenisha mevisha, a woman, a shameful woman. Vara shemasecha boishim. That's what she does. Kain, so it will be. What a isha mevisha vara shemasecha boishim. Her deeds are shameful. What she will do to her husband, she will cause him to rot. Okay, pasuk. There is no Rashi and pasuk. Pasuk vav divrei rishayim erav dam. Ufi yishorim yatzilein. The words of the Rishayim are to ambush, to lie in ambush, and to kill the innocent person. Dom here means death to the innocent person. But ufi yishorim, with the mouth of the tzaddikim yatzilein, will save them. Now, what does this mean? Let's see from the Mitzudas pasuk vav. Pasuk vav of erov la'arov al domdaki, to lie in ambush, to kill, to take the life of an innocent bystander, ba'ad be'edus shekin. This could be the theme of Rashi as well. We're dealing here primarily with testimony. An unsuspecting person does not realize that when he comes into court, the witnesses are going to testify falsely against him, and there's nothing you can do. This is a very interesting idea. Chazal discussed it. This is like one of the... you're going on the road, you can protect yourself. You travel on the road, so you travel in an armored vehicle. You travel with people that you hire people to protect you. There is something you can do in this world where you can guarantee your protection. Pretty much, al derech hateva, you go in an armored vehicle, you do everything you're safe. But you come to court, and two witnesses get up and they say, Reuven killed Shimon. So what are you going to do? Reuven, the two witnesses are going to lock themselves up in a bunker the entire time during a period of time, so no one can say about them, "Imanu hoyisem, you're with us." They can prepare to prevent themselves from being caught as edim zanim. They can walk into a court and they can say, "We testify that Reuven killed Shimon." What's going to happen? Bezdin will say, "Reuven, you're a dead man. We're going to put you to death, but I didn't do it." And there's no way in the world you can protect yourself from this. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to protect yourself? there's a halacha. The halacha says if two witnesses testify, Besen has no choice but to follow what the two witnesses say. So that's the ultimate. This is a mashal. Again, this is Mishlei after all. Mishlei, all the various mishalim. The ultimate example of erev dam is false testimony. To sit out under a bush and hide and camouflage fatigue to wait for an innocent person to come by, you can protect yourself from that. You can have a security, you can have cameras, drones can circle the area and can tell you if there's any ganav lying in ambush. But this you can't protect yourself from false witnesses. And that is why it is the ultimate marshal of an erev dam, and this is called the divrei rishon. The words are testimony, are erev dam, but upi yishem yatzileim, the mouth of the tzaddikim yatzileim, that means if we get lucky, the only solution is imanu hayisem. You were with us. How can you two witnesses testify that Reuven killed Shimon on this day, on this time, but at that moment in time, you were with us? Imanu hayisem, and then they will be saved. Yatzileim, yatzilu es hanidonim, ki yirbu lachkar adi yuchashu zemizek. So the Mitzudah says something different than what Rashi says. The Mitzudah says that they're going to interrogate the witnesses until they contradict one another. Okay, this in the news lately, following what's going on there with the riots, Ferguson, and all the article, the conflicting testimony.
The same witnesses, but they heard that.
Right.
They changed the testimony
to make it conform with what it says. Yeah, oh boy. So yeah, this is what it says, Yatzileim. That's how at least the Mitzudos Stavolins, we're going to interrogate them to the point where they contradict one another, and then we'll throw out their testimony, and Reuven will go free. So Rashi says something much more basic. Rashi says, let's go back to the beginning of the Rashi, Divrei Rishon Erev Dam, the words of the wicked, they lie in ambush to spill blood. How? Yoyatzim Lirtsoyach Biodayim. So first he says, they counsel. Okay, the Divrei means they plan, they sit the whole day figuring how to kill an innocent person. Oh, okay, he's going to the Mitzudos. Al Yidei Eidos Sheker. Now, what does the pasuk include? The P Yeshurim will save them. Kishashoyim es atzasam. So, first interpretation: when the tzaddikim hear about their evil plans, Yatzilum lir dafim shemagalim es atzasam. They reveal their plan in order to protect the innocent people. Oh. Second parish, testimony. He does not say interrogation to cause them to contradict one another. Oh, im edim heim mazimin oisan imanu hayisem ba'osos manos. You were with us at that time in that place. That will be the way to spear the tzaddikim. Okay. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk zayin hafoich. What?
The following
way around. So how are they tzaddikim? It rubs off on them. It rubs off on them. Okay. Well, let's see one more pasuk. Hafoch Rishon Ve'Einam. Hafoch means to spin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he spins the Rishonim, and guess what? They disappear. Basically, Hashem Hafoch, he overturns them. The day will come when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will overturn the Rishonim, will obliterate them from the face of the earth, and they disappear. But Ubeit Sadikim Yamod, that tzaddikim will always remain secure. But so this pasuk Zayin, Hafoch Kasher Yehafchu HaRishonim, when the Rishonim they are overturned, Oz Einam Ba'olam V'Yovad Zecher Lama, when they are overturned, their remembrance doesn't exist. Avol Beis HaTzadikim Yiskayim Lo'ad. A very simple translation. Mitzudos Rashi says, Hafoich V'Shom K'moy Lehafoich. K'mapechas V'ega Nepochim Lehapoch. It means in an instant. In an instant, Rashi interprets the pasuk to mean Lehapoich. In an instant, the Rishayim are overturned. Something goes wrong, and they cease to exist from the world. They num kolim kugoin stone, for example, stone v'amora. It was obliterated, and there is no zecher of stone. Ubei tzadikim yamod. Yamod means yiskayim, and it remains, exists forever. The Medrash here in the Tanhuma gives four examples of rishonim that were obliterated on a moment's notice. Number one, the Dor HaMabul. The Dor HaMabul very quickly came to an end. Hashem, and it says there, what were the words the pasuk will use? Vayimach es kol hayikum. So vayimach is not exactly the same as hafoich, but it's close enough. They were obliterated in one moment. Next, generation number two was Sodom. Okay, the generation of Sodom. Pasuk overturned the four cities. It was supposed to be five cities, but the fourth one, the fifth one was saved, they were overturned. Next, the next generation was the Dar Bavel. The Dar Bavel. It says there, Mitzrayim. The third is Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, Bavel was not destroyed. The Migdal Bavel, they were just dispersed. Vayofetz, that's the word, Vayofetz, Hashem dispersed them. That's not a fulfillment of what it says, Hafoich. Hafoich means dispersal. Okay, but the way the Medrash, the Medrash wants to focus on an obliteration of the Einam, they don't exist. They don't exist in the previous state, but they still exist. These people were dispersed to the ends of the earth. They spread out, but they still existed. So according to the Medrash, it's not a true fulfillment of the word Hafoich. Hafoich means the Einam. They no longer exist. The Dar of the Mabul
didn't. No longer existed.
The unity didn't exist, but the project, but the people themselves did exist. So it's not called a total Deinam. I hear what you're saying. Okay, but this is the Medrash. The Medrash is only focusing on four extreme examples. Dar Hamabel, Dar of Sidom, the people of Sidom, Mitzrayim, they all went into the Yam. V'lo nishar bohem ad echad. That's the part that's called by the Medrash. There's not even one person that remained. V'lo nishar bohem ad, there's not even one person that was left in Mitzrayim. And then comes the last one of the Medrash, is the Dar of Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was wiped out by the Persians, by the Modai, the nation of Modai Uparas. Modai Uparas obliterated them. The time of Belshazzar. Right, the time of Belshazzar, that's when they cease to exist. V'chrati, it's a fulfillment of the pasuk of Yishai. V'chrati l'bavel sheim u'she'or v'nin v'neched. She'er v'nin v'neched. Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, his people, his nation, will be obliterated from the face of the earth. There won't be anything left over. Sheim, she'er, Nin Vonechet. And that was fulfilled. So these are, it's a very important medrash. If you think about world history, there are many evil people, and every evil person and country suffered to a certain degree, but according, at least according to this Tanchuma, only four enemies of the Jewish people of the world were completely obliterated from the face of the earth.
In that regard,
the extremes, and that, and them, this fulfilled the pasuk Hafoich Rishaim Ve'Einam. We have today no zecher of the world before the Mabul. We have today no zecher of Sodom. We have absolutely no zecher of ancient Egypt. It's pasuk in the Torah. V'loy nishar bohem ad echad. Okay, only Paro. But that means the whole Egypt, the original Egypt, doesn't exist. What does that mean exactly? I mean, in Egypt, yeah, they still, but that's what it says, according to Chazal. And Bavel also, ancient Bavel, is off the map. But Klal Yisrael, then the Medrash goes on to say, but when it comes to Klal Yisrael, that's not the case. Klal Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu, will always guarantee that they will survive. Let me just finish up over here. El Kulam Aval Yisrael, but the Jewish people, Noiflim, at times they fall, they stumble, but V'oimdim, but they will always rise once again. V'chein Oimer, we say this, we focus on this on the Kinnas of Tisha B'Av. Al Tismechi Oyavti Li. Don't rejoice, my enemies in me. Ki Nofalti, just because I've fallen, Komti, I will rise once again. Okay, I'll be talking a lot about upon this thing, but that's the basic yisod. Okay, maybe just one more pasuk, because this one pasuk is a really delicious pasuk. Pasuk Ches, Lefi Sichlo Yuhulal Ish V'Nave Levi Yelavos. I'll just tell you, we'll do it tomorrow, but just, the basic pasuk is, a man, according to a man's Sechel, is he praised. The Gemara Darsh is this pasuk in reference to Elkanah. Elkanah had two wives, and he survived. Adam had one wife, and he didn't survive. So the Gemara says that the subject of Yehulal, now it's more than just, the manager is more than just two wives. The two wives hated each other. Penina and Chana. They hated each other. Tzaras. And the way it goes in the world is that when two wives hate each other and they're at each other's throats, who is the collateral damage? The husband. The husband is the one that ultimately is suffers. He's the one that doesn't survive. And yet, the Yehulal, but if a person has seichel, he's a clever, smart person, he knows how to manage two wives. He knows how to work it out that he'll survive. So that is the subject of the Prabhupada Apostle, according to the parish of the Mitzvah of the Medrash, is Elkanah is the ish that is praised because he was a man of seichel. But the Nave Lev Yelavuz, Adam Harishain, he vacillated. His wife says to him, "You can even the Eitz Hadas." "No, I can't." Hashem says, "Yes, you can. Look, I'm touching, you're touching, nothing happens." This, she was able to open up Sveikas in his mind and cause his heart, the lathe, to Na'aveh. Na'aveh means to wander. To wander from its target. To deviate. To deviate. Oh, so what happened to Adam? He became a person, levuz. He was disgraced. Because he ate from the Eitz Hadas. He brought death into this world. And it's all downhill, and all downhill from there. So this pasuk, we'll do this again tomorrow out of time, is basically describing, contrasting Elkanah versus Adam. Fascinating.